original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station with 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Team Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Guys, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Once again, one more Sunday. Another beautiful, beautiful day. New experience.
Got you on my mind.
New moments in time. One more hour with us to talk about your life, other people's lives, get into people's business. No, not at all. That's just bad. Talk about whatever you want. This is the show where we talk about everything from parents to relationships to struggles to even the universe. And of course, whatever else is on your mind. You guys can call in on the show. 323-203-0815. In the studio today, we got Colin.
Hey, what up?
We got the posse. We got Colin. We got Michael.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going? How's it going, guys? How's your day going?
Pretty good. How is yours?
It's going quite well. Thanks very much for asking. Mike, how's your day going?
It's going great. Late
very
start,
nice.
But it's going to be good.
Mike, actually, he's one of my very intelligent friends. He is in psychology class. He's very, he's just articulate. You know, he's a good guy, and I want him on the show. Really want him on the show. Of course, we got Colin. He's the posse over here. What's going on? So today, we're going to talk about, In the wide scheme of things, anger. We're going to talk anger because the topic for the show was actually sparked by a few emails I got from listeners. Thank you guys, by the way. You can always email me at dcsboarding514@aol.com. That's dcsboarding, B-O-A-R-D-I-N-G, 514@aol.com. You guys can always email me, tell me your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions about anything that's going on. We'll talk about it on the air, even off the air. If you want, you know, whatever you guys want. But yeah, so I got a couple emails from some teens, and it has to do with anger. And not directly like, oh, I'm an angry person. Not like that. But just like kind of the events that had occurred in these emails revolves around anger. So I'm actually going to start off the show with saying a few of these emails and kind of getting like a background for the topic and answering a few questions through these emails that hopefully I will help you guys with. So, this is from Heather. Thank you, Heather, by the way. We love you. It goes, hi, Dave. I have a real problem. I've been dating this guy for 3 months, and lately he seems to be getting angry really easily. If I don't do things the way he wants to, he starts yelling. Last weekend, when I wanted to leave this party and asked him if he would take me somewhere else, he shoved me so hard and said no. I hit the wall when he pushed me. On the way home, he was yelling about how I should do what he wants because he is the guy. I really am confused about what to do because I have liked him, but he's becoming a bully to me. Thanks, Heather. Well, Heather. First things first. Guys, what do you have to say about that? Like, obviously, I think we all kind of have, like...
Kind of sounds like he has too much of an ego.
Issues. Yeah. Ego, definitely. But along with ego, I think he has...
A supreme case of, I need to be the man.
Yeah.
And you need to be the inferior woman.
No, exactly. Heather, you know, you totally like him. I get that. But when it comes down to it, You don't
want a guy like that.
You don't want an abusive guy. That sucks. Like, that's
a guy,
like,
that's going to treat you as an equal, and that's going to love you the same way you love him.
There you go. Done. By the way, Heather, that's Michael.
Hey, Heather. I'd love you the same way you'd love me.
No. But yeah, you know, try looking for other opportunities. You know, look for other guys. Don't just drop it, because it sounds like if you were to just, like, completely drop this guy, then he might be, like, so super crazy and, like, actually, like, hurt you. Yeah, no. Well, let's hope not. Don't even... But, you know, maybe talk to him. Be like, you know, I realize, you know, definitely don't say, like, I realize you have an ego and, like, you need to push me around because you're a little insecure bitch. Excuse the language. But, like, basically say, like, I see that, like...
Put him in his place, kind of.
Yeah. You know, like, make him realize... Make him feel kind of small. Make him, like... Are you really, like, as low as, like, hit a girl and, like, push a girl? Like, actually hurt a girl who you claim you, like, are into? Like, if, you know, I just say...
Or, like, if you want to be with me, then don't, like, act like that. I'm not going to stand for this.
How old is she?
I'm not sure. I don't know how old
Shouldn't say.
It is.
Well, state your grievances. I don't. If he's not willing to change to meet what you want, then it's not worth it.
Dump his ass.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, exactly. Exactly. But don't, because, you know, you don't want to be too forward with guys like this, just because, like, you kind of, like, don't know the position, like, their mental state is in. They might be crazy. crazy. But,
crazy in the coconut.
Crazy in the coconut. But don't, you know. Don't deal with it. You sound like too wonderful of a person. I don't know you, but from your email and the way you wrote to me, it sounds swell. You sound like a swell person. But yeah. And Heather, if you need talk or anything, you know, you can always call in on the show, 323-203-0815, or you can email me, once again, dcsboarding514. You know my email. You already did. So that's for Heather. Hopefully we helped you. I'm gonna go on to Julie. Hi, Dave.
How old is Julie?
Hopefully it says in the email. I'll read it out. It says, "Hi, Dave. I'm in love with my ex." Okay. Well.
There's your problem.
Just to start out the email, nothing against Julie, but it's just, I'm in love with my ex. That is so stereotypical. I thought I was over my ex, but I still love him. I can tell you're in high school. There's not a day that I don't think of him. I try to make myself hate him a little, and just when it starts working, I see him, and all the feelings come back. He makes me feel that I've never... He makes me feel the way I've never felt about another person before. And to top it all off, we are friends with benefits. I still want to be with him, but I don't think he feels the same way. Please help Julie. Well, Julie, if you guys are friends with benefits, I know exactly what he wants, and I know exactly why he's taking her out. You're probably a very attractive girl, and he... likes that he can touch a very attractive girl.
He's an average teenager.
Yeah. You're in love with your ex. You're not in I can't say you're not. I definitely cannot say you're not in love with your ex. I don't know that. But what it sounds like is, like, I don't know.
You don't know how to fully detach yourself because you guys have already had a severe physical attachment. So
yeah.
You can emotionally say, I don't want to be with you anymore, so you won't be going on any more dates. Not any of the special types of things in a relationship, only the physical things.
Yeah. You basically lock everything but your eyes. And, like, well, he locks everything but his eyes, which, like, yeah, isn't that, yeah. Michael's looking at me from across the room like, damn, dude, that was good. I was like, I know, right?
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, right? No, but, yeah, if he, you know, it doesn't really sound like he, well,
he's,
the situation.
He's into you
He's into you. He's into you.
He's literally.
He's into your body.
No, yeah, he's like, literally into, like, you, you know, as opposed to, like, wow, I really like you, Julie, as a person, like, as a human being, I love, like, who you are, and I want to be with you. It's kind of like, hey, Julie, yo, you're my really good friend, and we have sex, so we should have
keep
sex and be friends.
We should just keep doing that. I'm not going to buy you dinner ever.
So, yeah, no, it's not. So, Julie, in this situation, I'd say you kind of have, you know, you have a few options. This is me personally, my advice. One, either, you know, detach yourself. If you still want to, like, be with him and, like, get with him and stuff, that's totally cool. Like, you have every right to. You're a teenager. Like, go for it. Yeah, dude. My voice cracks. No. And So I'd say either, you know, get over the emotional aspect. Get over the, oh, I love him, but he doesn't want to be with me part. You know, get over that and take it and love what you have. Love, you know, the touchy, the feely, the sexual part, basically. You know, like that and deal with that. You know, if you really, really like him. Or if what you want...
Detach yourself completely, or you're, like, if you're going to like him, then... You can't have both the physical and the emotional.
Right. Obviously. At this point, it looks like you can't really have... Unless something happens to where you build the emotional aspect back up. But that's his deal. You know? That's his deal. But, yeah, you can either do that. Or, if it's about him, then do that. If it's about, you know, wanting attachment, wanting, quote-unquote, love with someone, then, you know, I'd say either... Look around and keep doing what you're doing with this guy, but like make it clear to him that you're not together. And I think he already knows that from what was stated in the email. You know, or just don't, you know, just like keep doing that and look for other guys, or just, you know, don't do that and look for other guys in general. But I'd say in this situation right now, it looks like you're a little in a pickle with finding the emotional aspect from this guy. But Julie, there's so many other fish in the sea, and if the guy only wants a sex, he doesn't sound like too good of a guy, you know, because guys have to be there for the opposite sex. That comes with it. So that's that. Let's see. I want to find, oh, there's so many good emails. I want to find another one with some anger so we can, like, kind of, the first
go
one
into
was
our
anger.
Topic.
Yeah, I want to kind of go into that. Scan through these really quick.
Are there any more?
There doesn't look like. I saw another one with anger. Yeah, okay. Dave, I'm a 15-year-old boy in the 8th grade. I played football. Oh, no. Well, you know what? We can go on to this one anyway. This is great. I love this email. This one wasn't the one with anger, but I like this. And then we'll go into anger. Dave, I'm a 15-year-old boy in the 8th grade. I played football this year, and I was kind of popular. I would say I was popular. Everyone still knows me, and I think most people like me. Whenever I talk to any girl or boy, they're nice to me. Next year, I will be going to high school for the first time. I don't want to play football next year, but I don't want to be a nobody. I don't want people to say, just because I don't play any sport, no one knows me. If I were to grow taller and work out and get buff, do you think I would be known? Do you think I would be unpopular or a nobody if I don't play football or any sport? I just don't want to be a nobody. Thanks, Jesse. No, Jesse, just because you don't play football doesn't mean you're not going to be...
Quit football, you're a loser.
No, yeah. No, that has... You really don't need to worry about that. What I've realized in high school is everybody, like, you know, fits into their own, especially, like... You know, if you have the capability, which you do because you already stated that, you know, you consider yourself popular, if you have the capability of making friends and being a nice person, regardless of what you do, that's going to show, and you're going to make friends, you know? And football, what I've realized in, like, other sports in high school is kind of like they just all hang out together. You know, it's kind of like a little click.
Yeah.
Jinx. No. What would you say, Mike?
You fit in where you fit in. You go up to someone. You've got to have the ability to go up to someone and say, hi, this is my name. This is what I'm interested in. And that's the only way you'll find your groups. If it's not football, it's not football. How many kids are on the football team? 40? That's 40 out of the average high school is like 2,500 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll definitely find a group. Might not be the football kids, but it'll definitely be people who are like you if you're willing to tell them what you're like.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't want to – if you don't want to play football and, you know, you don't want to, like, hang out with the football kids, then, like, that works out better for you, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, if you really, really, really think that by hanging out with the football kids, like, you're going to be cool and, like, accepted and all this stuff, but you don't play football, you know, then I think to yourself if, like, you'd want to even hang out with them, you know? And I've also realized nothing against football. I think football is a really cool sport. And, you know, people that play football, like, are, you know, have very, like, strong minds and, like, are very, like, well-trained. Because it really is a hard sport. But I have realized that, like, you know, a good majority of, like, the football players have, like, really big egos and think they're, like, the coolest.
Let's not generalize here. I used to play football.
No, I'm not generalizing at all. I'm not generalizing. I said a lot of. Will you agree? Think about. Think about.
I'll say there's a couple, but you could find that in any sport. I play soccer right now, and I'll tell you half the team are just a bunch of, like, I am number one. The world revolves around me.
No, completely. No,
the
no,
sun
definitely.
Revolves around me.
This is true. No, this is very true. And, like, it comes in all aspects, but I don't know. A lot of sports.
Anywhere you go, you're gonna find people.
You know,
just distance yourselves from them. Once they realize no one's coming to them, hey, maybe the world doesn't revolve around me.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's revolving right now.
Colin, talk. Tell me something.
Speak. About what?
Well, what are we talking about? I'm just like.
What makes you smile?
What? Talk to me. Tell me what makes you smile. No. Well, Colin. Jesse. Jesse emailed me. Back to Earth. It's okay. We all have those moments. I saw Colin kind of like looking in the upper corner, like kind of thinking with his headphones on, like what's going on. And I just like catch him. Colin, what are you talking about? No. Jesse thinks that if he doesn't play football in high school, he's gonna be a nobody. He's popular now. He likes the popularity. He's in eighth grade, but he thinks that his next year of high school is next year, and he doesn't want to play football, but he wants to be liked.
I think if you just like introduce yourself to people and like if you're just like a social person,
yeah.
Then like
you'll be
eventually
fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll you'll make as many friends as you want to make.
Exactly. That's what we both said. So what I really want to get to today, those were very good emails and I'll answer a few later. But I really do want to get to anger, because anger is a topic that we've touched on before, but we've never really like dedicated a show to like the different aspects of anger and like kind of different ways you know, to control your anger. And anger, I find, is, you know, a really, really, really big contributor to
a lot of stress.
So
stress and
so much
relationship troubles.
Yeah, so much, you know. The anger has so much to do with, like, if you have anger, you know, constant anger in your life. Like, yes, we all have outbursts. Like, God damn it. You know, like, we all, you know, have...
Tui Cartman.
No. No, but we all, you know, we all have our times. But, like, if you're living, you know, and you're just genuinely, like, an angry person...
Then you're usually, like, kind of depressed also.
Yeah, you know, and it just surrounds you with a negative energy, which completely affects your life and the way you live.
And then you kind of just manifest really bad things. And
exactly.
And then you die.
And then you die. No, not necessarily. Hopefully not. But we're here to catch you before you die. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to start out with the 10 things you should know about your anger. This is by David Burns. He is an author and psychologist and a very, very intelligent man. 10 things you should know about your anger. 1, the events of this world don't make you angry. You create anger by thinking hot thoughts. Hot thoughts meaning angry thoughts. You attach meanings to events that result in your anger. Pretty much, you, as a human being, cannot blame your anger for your surroundings.
People.
Yes. You, as a human being, interpret the anger. The situation. Which creates an emotion, which could follow up in anger, which also could follow up in glee, happiness. You know, it all depends. What would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, completely.
Yes.
that looked like a really comfortable, yes, you're stretching a little bit. Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely can agree with that. Every single day of my entire life, you know, things happen. You know, people do this, something, just a little something happens, and, you know, you'll look at a situation. And
anger isn't the issue. Anger's going to happen no matter what. There's no way to live an anger-free life. The issue is how to deal with that anger so that it affects you in the least way possible.
Right. Or along with that is the issue of, like, how, you know, what level of anger to get to, and, like, how to, like, take down...
Sometimes you've got to get angry.
Yeah.
Can't just roll over. friend it, steals something of yours, you can't just choose to not be angry. You have to let them know.
No, it's true. You know, it's true. This is very true. Oh, looks like we got a call coming right up. Let's see. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. This is Dave. You are on the air live.
Oh, great. Yeah. Hi, this is Randy.
How's it going, Randy? This is Dave.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're in the studio with Colin and Mike.
Hey, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys.
What's up, Randy?
I'm listening to your show.
Oh, yeah?
And, I have some issues with my son.
Talk to me.
Well, I found out that he is smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah?
And I'd like to know, from a teen point of view, you know, how I can get him off of cigarettes.
From a teen point of view, how you can get him off of cigarettes.
Beat him.
Yeah. Why does he smoke, and why does he feel the compulsion to smoke cigarettes?
I think it just takes some encouragement. Just like, you can't, like, force him to not stop. You have to, like, encourage him to stop smoking, not, like, be angry at him all the time. Instead of, like...
Talk.
Sorry.
It's okay. You just, like, moved the microphone. I was like, kur, 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 which completely threw it off. Sorry about that, folks. Go on, Colin. Okay. Yes. The reason why. Michael, go on.
The reason teenagers smoke could be a couple of things. One, they might have, you know, an adrenaline addiction. I want to do something wrong. I want to somehow defy my parents. They could have maybe just an oral fixation. They just want to be able to look cool and be like, yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Or people could have addicted personalities where they have certain things that they just want to be addicted to because they don't feel correct unless they're addicted to something.
I agree with this.
If unfortunately your son chose cigarettes, then it's not the biggest deal ever. There are many ways to get them off. You just need to get them something better to be addicted to, and a great thing would be exercise. Start encouraging your son to run, go to the gym with you, give him activities that you and him could do together, build family skills, and take away the time that could be spent smoking cigarettes. Instead, have that time be spent with you, someone who could be a positive role model, I'm assuming, because your name's Randy and that's awesome.
Yeah, but what happens if he doesn't want to do that stuff?
Well,
if he doesn't want to share time with me.
Well, I want to go back really quick. I think that... No, yeah, no, please, Michael, go on, answer his question.
Would you say your son loves you?
Does he love me?
Yeah, unconditional.
Yeah, I think he does.
I'm pretty sure, Randy, that, you know, you sound like a really good guy. Sounds like your son loves you a lot. Sorry, go on, Mike.
Son loves you, which I'm sure he does. You know, say to him, I love you and I want to spend more time with you. And, you know, how old's your son?
He's 17.
Say you're going to be going off to college soon, and then, you know, then you're going to be all alone in the world, and I want to spend as much time with you as I can while you're still, you know, in my house and you're still, you know, my liability. And, you know,
well, I wouldn't put it quite that way. He's not a liability. He's my son, and I love him very much.
He's a liability.
I'm very concerned about his health.
I mean, I just see my kids as
you know. You know, he has a bunch of friends who they like to smoke. What's that called? Hookah, whatever.
Hookah.
And they smoke cigarettes. They smoke hookah, and I just don't quite know why they do these things when it is clearly bad for them.
No, this
and is... and I my wife and I, we try very, very hard to not be judgmental of it.
Right.
But unfortunately it turns into a situation where you know, it seems like they don't hear anything that my wife and I, that his mother says. And it seems like he communicates much better with his mom than he does with me, which it hurts my feelings a lot. But, you know, my feelings seem inconsequential to whether I want him to do something or not. it seems as though when I ask him not to do something, and I don't tell him not to do anything, I just tell him the rights and wrongs of things, and I let him make the decision, but he ends up making the wrong decision about the cigarette smoking. He, you know, I've bought him Nicorette gum. I've talked to him about the dangers. His grandfather passed away from cancer, and his grandfather smoked for many, many years, and it's an addictive behavior. And I get, you know, it feels good, whatever, but I ask him to just get past that feeling of feeling good, because I know it goes on for a couple weeks, this feeling of, you know, the feeling of nicotine in the system. I know that it feels good, but he's killing himself, and he just doesn't seem to realize that.
To me, you've got to say to your son, because that's some powerful statements you just said about how it hurts your feelings, about how you don't like that he communicates better with your wife than with you. Those are all things that I feel would really touch him and, you know, open him up. He just needs to hear a really sincere, not apology. I don't know why I was about to say that. He needs to hear a sincere statement from you, you know, where you just really need to, in a calm environment, list your grievances and, you know, describe to him how it is that he hurts you and that his smoking affects more than him. And, you know, your teen's probably going through the egocentric stage of life right now where, as we discussed earlier, the world revolves around me. I'm the most important person. You need to let him know that there are more important things than right now and right here, and that his future is at stake, and his future affects everyone who loves him, and that you feel the best. You've taken care of him his whole life, and you feel to continue taking care of him, you need him to stop smoking.
Randy, Michael, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful, and I couldn't have put that better. But yeah, I do want to say, you know, you said, like, you know, you feel that your teen, you know, communicates better with the mother and this and that, and, you know, and honestly, what I think you need to do is don't take it personally. Yes, talk to your teen. Talk to him, tell him how, you know, smoking affects.
Don't take it personally.
No, don't take it personally.
His kid's just obeying him. How could he not take it personally?
If
yeah, how can I mean, I try not to take it personally, but everything in his life is a personal thing to me because he's my son.
I realize
he
that,
makes,
but
you know, my son makes some really good choices. I mean, he really, he's a smart kid. He's a smart young man, and he does really good things. But yet, there are some things in his life that he are not good. And I mean, there's more on the positive side than there on than there are on the negative side.
Randy,
but he really makes good choices. He's got a heart. He's got a conscience. He's a very loving young man,
Randy,
which I'm very happy about. And everyone around him loves him. His friends, his family. He's very loved. But yet
Randy,
he does this behavior, and he does a couple other behaviors that are just
Randy,
just not right.
Randy,
and I've tried everything to try to talk to him, like what you're saying, and Michael, you have some great points,
Randy,
but it just seems as though he just doesn't hear me.
Randy,
and I, yeah,
it Randy, seems like you don't hear us.
Randy, no, I hear you loud and clear. I get what you're saying. Now listen, if you believe that, you know, there is more positive and he, you know, he makes good choices, he has a good conscience, this and that, than negative, then you need to believe in your son that he will stop. Has he told you before that he will stop? Has he, like, tried to stop smoking cigarettes?
He's tried. He's been trying for the past number of months.
Okay.
And
wait, stop right there.
Stop right there.
Randy,
I've encouraged
Randy,
him, and he just... just this morning, he woke up and he had one cigarette yesterday. He said he had one cigarette yesterday. I don't know how many cigarettes he had, but the first thing that he did, he woke up and he says, I gotta go get cigarettes.
I
agree with you.
My wife and I looked at each other. We looked at each other and we just went, you know, what are we going to say? No?
Randy,
you know, what are we going to do?
Randy. Listen, I know what you're saying. One thing that you do need to realize, though, that you do really do need to realize, is cigarettes are so addicting. And I know you know that.
So that makes it okay?
No, not at all. Not at all. What I'm saying is there's a difference between, like, something being, you know, it'd be different if, you know, his son was, like...
You mean your son?
His son?
Randy's son.
Randy's son. Hey, my Randy. Son. Yes, Michael. It'd be different if my son, no. It'd be different if Randy's son was, like, addicted to... Not necessarily addicted, but, like, was, you know, doing something and disobeying him for something that wasn't addictive. You know, for something that, like, if you didn't have, you'd be like, you know.
Even if something's addicting, you still have the choice to not be on it. You just need to make the effort.
It's completely true. But the thing about it, though, is, you know, it takes time. If your son's trying to quit, and I'm not giving a pass for your son. I'm not saying, oh, that's completely fine if you smoke cigarettes. You know, that's cool. You know, just this and that. I'm not saying that at all. Okay. What I'm saying is your son is going to make his decisions. Also, look at the positives. It's not like he's smoking dope. Smoking dope. It's not like your son is, like, smoking weed. You know, hopefully he's not. Do you know if he does?
Well, he says he does occasionally, but, you know, we don't drug test him because we want to trust him.
You should trust
him.
If you, really quick, Randy. If you start drug testing him, what that does, like, for, like, the teen mind and just, like, for the mind in general, it puts, like, a sense of rebel. Like, if you drug test him, that's, like, a trust.
It's kind of like a me against the parents.
Yeah,
thing. Like,
that's a trust enemy. Thing that's going to be broken. And, you know, he sounds like he's a good kid from what you're saying. And you know, if he's experimenting with marijuana on occasion, like, you know, that's fine. Just, like, as long as it doesn't get out of hand.
It's not fine. He doesn't realize. See, the thing is he doesn't realize that it's not fine because marijuana leads to mushrooms, and then mushrooms lead to cocaine, and then cocaine leads to other things. And he doesn't, you know, I know a lot of teenagers, and the teenagers... They don't realize that they're playing with dynamite.
Did you say that you know a lot of teenagers?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of his friends.
How do you? Okay, so you know a lot of his friends.
I'm on your side, Randy.
Yes.
I don't think he should try and justify it at all. I think there needs to be a blanket no.
You know, if he was 22, 25 years old, and he wanted to smoke pot and. He wanted to experiment, and he had a job, and he got through college, and he's just having a little fun or whatever.
I'd still say no. I'd say wait till retirement.
He's smart enough. He'll be smart enough to know when he's that age that this is no good. This is not a good option. But when you're a teenager, you don't. You know, it's all around. It's pervasive in our society. We live in Phoenix, Arizona, and. Pot and other illicit drugs are all over the place. And I've gone to the school board about it. I've talked to parent groups. I've been involved.
Randy? Hello? Oh, Randy, I think you might have dropped your call. If you can call right back, you're right in the middle of the conversation. Please, Randy, call back 323-203-0815. That was interesting.
I think we've gotten completely off topic from our...
No,
from anger.
No, it doesn't matter at all. Let's go on.
Let's talk about his anger.
Yeah, let's talk about Randy and his situation. You know, hopefully he'll call back. Please, Randy, call back. But yeah, so his...
I think he made some pretty good points there.
He definitely made some very good points.
Where you're coming from, David, that cigarettes are addictive, but it doesn't give anyone the right to justify it.
That's the worst excuse.
Not at all.
Well, I'm addicted.
The thing about it, though,
there's always a way that you can... That if you wanted to, there's a way that you can quit.
Of course. Maybe, though, like...
But you have to want to do it. You can't...
Maybe you know, the problem, like, I completely, like, I agree with you guys on, you know, most of what you're saying, and I agree with Randy, but the thing that you guys, I kind of think, are missing are, you know, the thing that would be the key, you know, and the key to a lot of things, especially in the situation, is, as opposed to black and white, no, you can't do it, and either no, you know, like...
There's no black and white with cigarettes.
There is, though. No, you're right. Not with cigarettes.
There's no,
not
just
with
like
cigarettes.
I'll have one every since in a while because not, if the person is an addictive personality, then they're going to get
be smoking,
addicted to it.
Right. Not in the sense of cigarettes, but more in the sense of like the way that, you know, his hopes for how to like control his kid. Also, he's 17 and in a year he's going to be like a legal adult making his own decisions, and you know, he's going to be in college, this and that, and 17 is a rough age, you know, to be a parent at, and I could definitely, like, I can't say from experience, obviously, I'm 17, but, you know, I could imagine, you know, excuse me, I could imagine 17 being a very, very difficult age to be a parent at, you know, because that's, like, right on the borderline of, oh, God, like, you know, he's soon going to be an adult. He's not my, like, little baby anymore.
He's making, you know, adult choices.
Yeah, he's making adult choices, doing adult things, you know. And I think that Randy needs to see the line, you know. He needs to see the line between, you know, how much he can truly control over, like, what his son does. Also, if his son has, you know, a good conscience and, like, makes good, mostly good decisions and stuff like that, like you said, then I don't think he has a thing to worry about. You know, he got tied up, got addicted to cigarettes. If he's trying to quit, good for him. You know, hopefully he'll quit.
You do have a point there. There's not,
you know,
there's not one sure answer. There's not three different things you can try that'll for sure work. It's, you can do your best and hope for the best, but...
I think Randy's calling again. Real quick, you guys can call in, talk to us. 323-203-0815. As a matter of fact, we got Randy right here. Randy.
Yeah.
There he is. Sorry, I think the call was dropped.
That's all right. Not a problem. So the bottom line is, what can I tell my son to ask him to not do this stuff?
Well, actually, right when you were calling back on the phone, I will get to that. I just want to say one thing that might help you. Randy, you know, I think what we're dealing with here a lot is, you know, the difference between black and white, you know, you know, don't smoke the cigarettes, don't experiment with pot, that, you know, you can't do that. There has to be a gray, there has to be a middle ground where, you know, what's your son's name, if you don't mind me asking?
Steve.
Okay, Steve, I really, really, really don't want you smoking these cigarettes. You know, like, it hurts. And if you said that to him and he's just like, yeah, Dad, like, I get it, I'm trying to quit, you know, then there comes a line where you have to just say, all right, I hope to God he quits. You know, I really hope to God he quits. Because he's going to be old, you know, he's going to be getting older soon. He's, you know, next year he's going to be in college and... You know, who knows what's going to happen, you know? And 17's a very difficult age to be a parent at, which we were just talking about, because that's kind of like the line between, you know, the beginning of adulthood and, like, the end of, you know, your high school experience and, like, the end of basically total, you know, any slice of innocence you had left is, like, kind of gone after, you know,
Let's help the man out. He's got a question. We've got answers.
No, most definitely. Most definitely. So what can you say to him to get him to stop smoking cigarettes? Say, you know, you mean so much to me. Like, I love you so much. You know, you don't realize, like, how much it hurts, you know, when you smoke cigarettes. You don't realize how much it hurts me when you smoke cigarettes because I'm your dad. I birthed you. I love you, you know, your blood, my blood runs through your veins.
I birthed you as my child.
I birthed you, no.
I traveled 300 miles to give you my seed.
But,
Lumberjack.
And I just say, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. And I realize that. And I know that, you know, I've been trying to get you to quit for a while, but I want you to know that I realize you're going to make your own choices. But I want you to know that I love you. And, you know, every time you smoke, it hurts me.
Mm, that's
and that's
good.
That's what I'd say.
That's okay, and is that going to make him quit?
That's up to him. I can't tell you that. Is that going to make him quit? I'm not your son. I couldn't tell you that. But
it's a 50-50.
It's why not? Try, go for it.
I just pray to God he's listening to this show.
So do I. Steve, hopefully you're listening.
Yeah.
All right, Randy. Well, thank
all
you
right.
so
good show,
much.
Guys.
Great
good show. Good points of view.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I appreciate the input.
Thank you very much for calling in. You can always email me at dcsboarding. That's BOARDING 514@AOL.com. Thank you very much, Randy, for calling in. You're always welcome to call in.
Thank you.
All right. You guys, you have a great day. Okay, so back to anger. Thank you very much, Randy, by the way. You know, hopefully your son quits cigarettes and we'll work everything out. But you sound like a real good guy. Back to anger. So the first one was, the events of this world do not make you angry. You create anger by thinking hot thoughts. You attach meanings to events that result in your anger. Mm. That's the first one. We went over that. By the way, all of this, like I said before, is from David Burns, who is a author and psychologist, author of Feeling Good, the book. It's a real good book. Number two, anger usually does not help. Finding active and creative solutions will make you feel better. This is, of course, true. Anger doesn't help unless, I would say, like, unless you're, like, running a track meet or something. Like, and you're like...
Unless you play football and
unless
you're a
man. Unless you play football and you're a man.
Protein. No.
Number three, anger generating thoughts usually have distortions. Correcting them will help reduce your anger. So basically, like, thoughts that, like, have that have anger behind them usually are skewed a little bit, you know, are skewed by the way you feel, which is going to skew your thoughts. Number four, ultimately your anger is caused by your belief that someone is acting unfairly or some event is unjust.
Mm.
You know, basically what this means is anger is caused in you that you are being cheated, you know, by something, or like you're being treated unfair.
The world is this way and it shouldn't be that way. So
exactly. And you know, not even the world. It could be something as simple as like a person, you know. But honestly, don't let it get to you. The only...
Gotta fight it.
You gotta get it. That was funny. You gotta fight the anger. No. The only thing that anger does for you
it kind of brings you down.
Brings you down, creates negative energy within you, which just...
Which kind of builds on itself and...
And affects the other people around you.
Yeah.
It's just not good. Number five, sharing the other person's perspective regarding fairness and justice may help you both to cooperate and experience less frustration. Talk it out. Get it out of...
Get both sides of the story instead of, like, only yours.
Exactly.
Or, like, only parts of theirs.
Instead of only, like, your phased, you know, preconceived... Or your phased conceived notion that, you know, oh, you were unfair... Or I was treated unfair. You know, this is not okay. I'm angry. You know, talk it out. Get it out on the table. You'll work things out. Number six. People don't like to be punished and will distance themselves to you if you do it to them. The short-term gains of anger and punishment are lost when compared with the long-term losses of friendship and trust. Basically, people don't like to be punished and will distance themselves if you do it to them. This is true.
But sometimes it's necessary to be punished for things that you do.
Yes, like if you're like a kid smoking cigarettes. No, I'm just kidding.
Sometimes you need to know what not to do.
Sometimes you need to know your boundaries.
Sometimes someone else needs to tell it to you.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Sometimes you kind of just need to know, you know, your boundaries.
Good spanking.
Good spanking. But no, the short-term games of anger and punishment are lost when compared with the long-term losses of friendship and trust. Basically, like, a little like mishap, you know, between one of your friends isn't worth, you know, an entire
friendship ending.
Friendship, yeah. You know, the experiences you can share with that person, you know, shouldn't be eliminated from something really stupid.
Yeah,
numbers.
It's a big problem nowadays. It is. It's people going from 1 to 10 instantly.
Take a
second to think about it. Think, do I really want to end a friendship over this?
So fair.
Where I could just like,
this sucks. I'm annoyed, but we can talk about it. And by 3 days from now, it'll be forgotten.
Exactly. Number seven, your anger often serves to protect a self-esteem that feels threatened. When you blame the other guy for your feelings of worthlessness, you're always fooling yourself. Well, this is very true. Anger is indeed, a shield to cover up something that you're insecure about. Because, like, when you're angry for, like, no reason, you just, like, try to be that tough guy, like, yo, what's up? Like, yo, you want to fight? I'll throw you down.
All of a sudden, your voice gets a lot deeper.
Yeah, you know, that's not you. You're obviously covering up for something. And if you have to put on that face to cover up
for
something...
You have to be the alpha male.
Yeah.
It's just not,
you know, it's silly. And, you know...
Wanna fight?
Wanna fight, dude? I'll put you down, bro. No. But, just don't do it. There's no need to be angry. Just be yourself. No, honestly, when you try to be that tough guy, like, in the room, and, like, you try to be like, oh, yo, what up, you know, you just look like an idiot. You look like a fool. You know, the people that you want to surround yourself with, the good people, you know, are attracted to other good people, to other genuinely real people. Nobody likes a fake
person. Like attracts like.
You know? Like attracts like. Yes, Colin. That's exactly like right attracts now. Like. That is exactly true. I love you, Colin. I think it's attraction or what's it? Opposite. What's the one I'm thinking?
Opposites attract.
Opposites attract. No, it's not the one.
No. Don't go swimming one. 20 minutes before.
You don't prove frustration results from number 8. Frustration results from unmet expectations.
What does that mean?
Frustration
results from... You expect to get a certain
grade
in a class, you didn't get it, and then
exactly.
You pull all your hair out.
Burns emphasize that frustration always results
like
from
burdens?
Your unrealistic... Burns.
Yeah. Burns.
Burns. Burns. Emphasize. Yes. That frustration always results from your unrealistic expectation. His simple solution... What?
Keep on talking.
Looking me all... His simple solution, change your expectations. Basically, if you, like Michael said, Michael, what was your example about, like, getting a grade on a test and, like, not having the expectation?
You expected, you know, you come into class and you expect to see, like, yeah, dude, I totally got 45 out of 50 on that. I felt so good. And then you get the test back and it's, like, 31. And then you're just like, I'm just not a good person.
Yeah. And along with that, like, expectations with, like, girlfriends and boyfriends, stuff like that.
Learn to accept failure, and failure can't piss you off.
There you go. That is perfect. Touche, Michael. Also, along with that, yeah, just learn to accept. You know, learn to be happy with what you have. And if you realize, you know, if you didn't get what you wanted, if the outcome of your expectations were lower, you know, then... your expectation, or if the outcome of the situation was lower than your expectations, you know, don't get all fussy over it. Just realize that, you know, it was an experience, and what happened, it happened, and learn from your experience.
As my homies at the Ohio Street AA meeting say, learn to accept the circumstances which are beyond your control. Maybe you weren't smart enough to pass the test. Too bad. That's what you got.
That's funny. Number 9, insisting that you will have the right to be angry may be true. But the question to ask is it useful? Basically, insisting that you have the right to be... No, nobody... I mean, yes.
I say you sometimes have the right to be angry.
I say sometimes you have the right.
No.
You
everybody,
kicked me. I'm pissed off.
You do have the right to be angry.
You steal my shit. I'm angry at you.
This is
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
this
you
is
take
good.
My stuff, man.
You do have the right to be angry, but...
You kick my dog?
The question to ask is it useful? That's really, really good. Because in the situation, you know, it's just if there's no positive outcome for your anger, why?
Good.
You know? Number 10, we're running out of time here. When you rid yourself of your sore irritability, you will feel greater zest, joy, peace, and productivity. You will experience liberation and enlightenment. That is fantastic. That's pretty self-explanatory.
It's powerful.
That is powerful. I like that. Let's see. I guess this one's just saying, you know, just don't be an irritable person. You know, things happen. Just roll with them. Flow
just
with them.
Chill.
Just chill, dog. Just chill. It'll be cool.
Have a hit. It won't kill you.
Just chill from 93 till, dog. For sure. Well, guys, you've been listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. We got... Colin in the studio, Mike in the studio.
Have a good day.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully we helped you. Thank you very much, Randy, for calling in. You guys are always...
Don't get angry.
Welcome to email me, DCSBoarding, BoardIng, 514@AOL.com. I will see you guys next Sunday from 1 to 2. I love you guys. Have a fantastic, beautiful, enlightening Sunday. Bye-bye.